The Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Beis Zion says that the pas of an individual, the pas bal bayis, is always going to be usur, even if it was sold through a Jew or a bakery. Okay, if you take pas bal bayis, you take personally owned bread and you sell it, it's still going to be usur. Okay, and pas palter is always going to be mutter, even if you eat in the house of a guy. And therefore, this is the sheet of the Rashba again, that everything follows the Shasafiyah, everything follows the time in which it is baked. Now, the Avnei Ezer, in Kuf, in Yoredei Simon Kuf, notes that there's a concept of Yesh Bishal Acharafiyah. And based on this Avnei Ezer, this is the heter to use breadcrumbs that are not Pas Yisrael. Why? Because most, unless, I don't know about Jason breadcrumbs, which is a very popular brand, but most of the breadcrumbs are not going to be made necessarily Pas Yisrael. So if someone wants to be makbid, what do we do? So the Avnei Ezer says, two reasons. The first thing is, panim chadashus ba'olakan, when I take the breadcrumbs and I bake that or I cook them, so then it's a new entity. And we don't care what they were, it creates a new entity that didn't exist before. And he says, you essentially ruin the Tzuras HaPas, the breadcrumbs are now ruined, and therefore becomes a new thing, a new entity, and therefore the breadcrumbs are not considered Pas Aklam or Pas Yisrael anymore. The Darkei Tshuva brings different shitos in two places, in Sifkatan Ayin Hei and Sifkatan Nun Vav. And he quotes that some people say it's Asul Olam, it's Pas Palzer, it's Pas Akum, there's nothing you can do about it, and therefore it's going to remain as is, there's no way to change it. And then he brings a fantastic pshara from the Stei Chemed. The Stei Chemed is in Chelek Hei, on page Resh Pei Hei, and the Stei Chemed says as follows. If I take breadcrumbs, and I essentially make a new type of bread, I take breadcrumbs that are Pas Palzer or Pas Akum, and I make some sort of new entity that's like something that's Mizonos, or another thing that's Hamotzi, and I just mush them together to make a new Tzuras HaPas entity, so that's going to remain Usur. You haven't changed anything. But if I take the breadcrumbs, says the Stei Chemed, and I just use them as something tufel to something else, I use it to as a binder in a food, or I use it to cover chicken, I use it as a coating to cover schnitzel, so in that case, that's the tufel, it's tufel, and therefore we don't care anymore about being Pas Palter, Pas Nachri, and the Stei Chemed says, in that case, there's certainly room to be lenient, because it's not the ikar anymore, it's become tufel to something else. I know by Hilchos Brachos, it's machlokus regarding the covering on the schnitzel, but in this regard, the Stei Chemed says that this is certainly enough to make it not be pas to turn into Pas Yisrael, or not make an issue of Pas Palzer. The Shari Mitzion Bahalacha, the Perish on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Simon Lamed Ches, has an amazing ha'ara to bring a riot to the Avnei Ezer and a shur from the Chassam Sofer that's talking about something else. The Chassam Sofer is talking about bagels. So the Chassam Sofer says that when the way you make the bagel is, first you boil it, and then you're going to bake it in the oven. So the Chassam Sofer says that the bagels are going to be mutter. And there's no issue of Bishul Akum. Why? Because it's not completed. You're going to change it. First you boil it. Oh, you'll think the bagel is now going to be Bishul Akum because I've boiled and cooked this bagel. But no, you're going to go and bake it again later on. So he says, since the new stage changes it, and it turns it not into what it was before, so says the Shari Mitzvah Mehalacha, the same thing that Chassam Sofer says, we can say by the breadcrumbs. I had this one Surah, and it undergoes a different baking process, a different cooking process, and therefore, breadcrumbs are fine. I heard from Rabbi Reisman once on a tape that Rav Pam said, yeah, it should be machmer when it comes to breadcrumbs, but I don't see the raya anywhere. It seems to be very clear from the Adonizer and the other Rishonim that you're literally changing it. It's a new thing. It's tough or whatever it may be. And therefore, one certainly has room to be lenient when it comes to breadcrumbs. Very quickly, in a place where there's no bakeries. So the Mechaber says, in the next Simon in Sif Ches, that if there's no bakeries anywhere, then you can eat Pas Bal Bayis, right? If you're really stuck and there's any mutter bread anywhere, you can rely on Pas Bal Bayis. So we said it's a stira to Sif Beis, where the Ra'as, where he seems to follow the Rashba, that everything's going to be Asol Olam. So here he says there's going to be a leniency. The Darkei Tshuva in Sif Katan in Ches cites the Pritoar, who says, how do you know what's considered reasonable? How long does it have to be until you get bread? So the Pre-Torah says 3 days. If you're not going to have bread in 3 days, then in that case, you're allowed to rely on having Paspal Bias, or if you want to have bread for Shabbos, you can have Paspal Bias as bread for Shabbos if that deadline's not going to come. It's not exactly clear where he gets this from. He doesn't really explain what the makor is for 3 days. And it could be, some poskim want to say, this might only be a heter for Sfardim, because the Ashkenazi poskim don't rely on this. And it could be that that's the kula, meaning if you don't have even immediately, if you don't have it in a day's worth, or that day, it could be that you could rely on Paspal Bias if you needed it, according to the Ashkenazi poskim. But I'm not sure. It could be that it could be only for Sfardim that you have to wait 3 days. Let's move on to Aseres Yemei Teshuva, because it's essentially hinted to by the Shachar and Tzifkatz and Tess. What's the source regarding being makadu Aseres Yemei Teshuva? The Yerushalmi in Shabbos, in the first parak, says that Rav Chia instructed Rav that if you're going to eat chulin, betara, during the entire year, that's fine. But if you're not able to eat chulin betara, you should make sure to do it during 7 days out of the year. A very cryptic Yerushalmi, 7 days out of the year, you should be careful to eat chulin betara. And the Machzor Vitri and the Rav Yah in Simon Tavkov Chavtes says that these 7 days are the 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and that you should be careful to eat chulin betara. But there's no mention of anything about bread. It's the Rush in the end of Rosh Hashanah and the Torah in Siman Tav Reish Gimel who says that just like you're going to eat chulin betara for those 7 days during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, so too one should be careful to eat only Pas Yisrael during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. This is the Makar based in the Yerushalmi, based in the Rav Yah, finally the Rush, bringing it lahalacha, that a person should be careful. So I know some of you are asking that Rav is a first generation Amora. So therefore, what are we talking about eating chulin betara? It was after Chorban Abayas. So what do you mean eating chulin betara? There's no, everyone's tamei. So some of the Rishonim, the Sefer Chassidim writes in the Parma edition, Tuf Tuf Reish Samach Tes, that, yeah, there's an Indian to eat chulin betara, even bizman hazeh, if a person could do such a thing. But some of the other Rishonim cite something remarkable. They say that the Yerushalmi is a riot to the fact that they had Efer of Para Aduma after Chorban Abayas. That even in the generation of the Amoraim, which is over hundreds of years after the Chorban Abayas, they still had the ability to metaher themselves with, because they still had leftover ashes from the Parah Adumah, perhaps a riot from the Yerushalmi. Okay. So this is what's brought in the Rush by Aseres Yemei Teshuva. The Shulchan Aruch and Taf Reish Gimel says that even if someone is not careful of a Pasakum, so when it comes to Aseres Yemei Teshuva, one should certainly be. And the Levush explains what's the point, right? Well, everyone asked a big question, Hashkafa, during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Oh, you're going to have the Kabbalah, it's going to be so frum for 10 days, and then what, you're going to forget everything? You're going to trick a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Levush explains beautifully that these are to show that these days are different. These are special days. It's in order to strengthen us to act a little bit differently, in order to focus us during this time. You're not trying to trick a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're simply just trying to make these days special. And this is cited, as we said here, by the Shach and Sifkatan Tess as well. And this is brought by all the halachas from the Chacham Sadin, the Kesher Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah, all saying to be careful during Aseres Yemei Teshuva as well. Now, it's unclear whether this is a Chumrah or Mi'ikar HaDin. Is something you have to do during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, or is something that it's a good thing to do? So, the Chalkos Ben Yamin discusses it, but it would seem, based on the Lashon, it's brought by all the Sefarim, it seems to be something that is not, it's a little bit more than a Chumrah. It's something that should certainly be done, if reasonable, during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Rav Yashiv is cited in the Sefer Bishul Yisrael, and also Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky in the Kovetz Halachos that's been put out recently from Philadelphia by Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So they both say that during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, you should be careful for cookies and cakes as well. It's not just bread. And in the Ha'aros, in Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's Sefer, so they quote an amazing tshuva from the Tshuva Me'ava, who says, this is in Chelek Gimel Shin Mem Beis, the Tshuva Me'ava says, that the whole idea of being careful about Pas Yisrael during Aseres Yemei Teshuva is an inyan of a neder, right? You're being Mekayim for these days to be very careful. And when it comes to halachos and nedarim, well, what do we follow? We all know we follow Lashon B'nai Adam. You follow the way people speak. And since during Aseres Metshuva, it's an inyan of a neder, and since we only call bread pas, right? Nobody calls cookies bread. So therefore, since it's an inyan of a neder, you only need to be careful on things that are called bread, b'lashon b'nei adam. And therefore, says the Tshuva Me'ava, by cookies and cakes during Aseres Metshuva, you don't have to be careful, because nobody calls cookies and cakes bread. It's a fantastic chiddush, and Shmuel Kamenetsky does not think it is lahalacha, but it's a very interesting way to apply this din regarding cookies and cakes. What about when it comes to Shabbos? So the Ramah in Reish Mem Bei, remember, everything we said right now is only a Aseres Metshuva. In the Rishon, you'll find no mention when it comes to being careful about Pas Yisrael on Shabbos. So the Ramah in Reish Mem Bei, in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, says that the minhag is to bake challah for Shabbos, but he doesn't explain why there's a minhag to bake challah for Shabbos. Magen Avraham says the reason is to ensure that we have Pas Yisrael for Shabbos and not Pas Palter. The Magen Avraham holds that there's an inyan to specifically have Pas Yisrael on Shabbos. Now, the Elio Rabba there in Reish Mem Beis disagrees. The Rabba says it's not what the Ramah means. The Ramah simply wants that the whole inyan is only for Aseres Metshuva, but there's no reason to be machmer. And he says the whole reason you bake bread for Shabbos is because of Kavod Shabbos, not because of anything to do about being careful about Pas Yisrael or Pas Palter. It's just because of Kavod Shabbos. And therefore, the Elio Rabba says that there's no inyan to be careful to have only Pas Yisrael for Shabbos. However, came out all of the poskim disagree, the Chayadam and the Kisr Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishabur and the Kaf HaChayim, in two places all say that the inyan is also have Pas Yisrael on Shabbos as well. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that one should also be makbid on Yontif, which we don't find by anybody else. He says you should be makbid on Yontif. He says the same thing in Siman Reish Mem Beis. Now, I have a stira. There's not a stira, but a kasha. There's the Ksos HaShulchan was written by Reb Chaim Na, whose measurements we all rely on. And the Reb Chaim Na writes in the Ksos HaShulchan and Pei Beis regarding the inyan of having Pas Yisrael on Shabbos that he can't find anywhere that the Baal HaTanya says that you should be careful to have Pas Yisrael on Shabbos. I don't really know what he's talking about, because the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says very clearly that you should have Pas Yisrael on Shabbos and Yontif. So it's Tzarechi on the Ktos HaShulchan. Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you'll notice that Sif Yud Gimel in Siman Reish Mem Beis is in a parenthesis. I don't know why it's in a parenthesis. I don't know the whole Torah behind the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. There's a sefer called the Chikrei Minhagim, which was put out by the Chabad Yeshivos in Chilek Gimel. They discuss why it's in parentheses and the deeper Torah to it and the whole inyan behind the parentheses. But whatever it is, these are the it seems to be the minhag by Chabad should also be, even though the Ksos HaShulchan says he doesn't know the makor. The Shaar HaTzion in Sifkat and Yud Ches and Reish Mem Beis says, what's the nafkamina between the Magen Avraham and the Elio Rabba? So he says the nafkamina would be that if it's only in of Kavod Shabbos, it should be sufficient to have challah for Hamotzi, that is, Pas Yisrael, and then the rest of the time have whatever you want, because, I was a Mekayim Kavod Shabbos with my Pas Yisrael bread, and the rest of the time, that would be sufficient. But according to the Magen Avraham, who says that it's an inyan to have Pas Yisrael on Shabbos, so then even anything else you eat during the meal, or anything else you eat throughout all Shabbos, should also have to be Pas Yisrael as well. I think the minhag is that if you're going to be careful on Pas Yisrael on Shabbos, let me say it this way. According to the halacha, it seems to be that one should certainly be makbid, if you're going to be makbid on Pas Yisrael, to have it all Shabbos. And I saw in the volume, Halachically Speaking, so Rabbi Leibovitz, so in the fifth year, in volume 15, he discusses Pas Yisrael, and he says that one should not have Stella Dora cookies on Shabbos, because Stella Dora cookies are not Pas Yisrael. And I think the minhag is not like that. I think people specifically do have Stella Dora cookies on Shabbos. So we have a tzarachi in here. If you follow the Elio Rabba, so then one would be allowed to have those type of cookies. But if you follow the Magen Avraham, and Kemat all the poskim do follow the Magen Avraham, one should be careful about these things also on Shabbos as well. That would seem to make sense. We're not going to be mechalik between the Magen Avraham and the Elio Rabba. It seems to be one should be machmer as well. What if it's Shabbos and all you realize all you have is Pas Palter? Okay? You realize you don't have challah for Shabbos and all you have is, well, this wouldn't be good. English muffins wouldn't be good, but because they're milchigs. But all you realize, you have some sort of bread. You have some loaves of bread that are paspalser. So the Prima Gadim in Reish Ayin Dalad by the Halachas of Amotzi says that it's pasha that you don't have pas Yisrael, so you can rely on paspalser on Shabbos and the Mishabru and the Kafachayim and the Ksos Shulchan, and all the Sfarim bring this to Halacha. And the Halachas Binyamin adds that you don't even need to postpone the meal. Let's say I only have I only have pas palter for the Shabbos meal, but I know that if I take a walk for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I'll be able to find pas Yisrael and bar from someone. So the Chalkos Binyana says you don't even have to do that. You don't need to postpone the suit at all. And if you have whatever you have in your house, that is sufficient for a motzi, and there's no reason to be machmer beyond that time. The Shevet Hakahasi in Chelik Vav Reish Ayin Gimel says that even for a suda, you could technically skip, like by Shal Shudas and Malava Malka, which technically you could do without bread. Even there, you're allowed to have the Pas Palzer in order to be Mekayim the Inyan to have Shal Shudas and Malava Malka with Hamotzi. You don't push off this important Inyan to have, make sure you have three sodas with bread just to not have, just to make sure you have Pas Yisrael. The Kafachayim in Shin Chafhei cites the Tashbates in Aleph Mem Dalet, who says that if all you have is Pas Bala Bayis on Shabbos, then that would be mutter to eat, so one does not fast on Shabbos, and now it seems to be the halacha as well, that if all you have is Pas Bala Bayis on Shabbos, you're allowed to have that on Shabbos as well. The Chalkos Binyanim leaves it as a suffix whether you should eat more than necessary. So, all I have was Pas Bala Bayis, and I had the kibbutz I needed for the suit on Shabbos, so am I allowed to have more than what's necessary? He leaves it as a suffix as a tzarachian. The Prima Gadim also notes one last thing, that if you have if you have Pas Palzer or Pas Bala Bayis for Lechem Mishnah, you have one that's Pas Yisrael, and the second one is Pas Palzer or Pas Bala Bayis, so you're allowed to use that as your Lechem Mishnah. Even though you may not eat it, you're allowed to have it for the second loaf, and this is cited by all the poskim as well, according to the Prima Gadim. I usually don't like to quote the Piskei Tshuvos. I think that it's very good to look things up before you quote the Piskei Tshuvos. But in this case, the Piskei Tshuvos there in Reish Ayin Dalet Yud Aleph has a good discussion regarding all of the shitos that where you have a Lechem Mishnah that's questionable of regarding its kashrus, can you use it as your Lechem Mishnah? So, for example, a person is during right before Pesach, and they have matzah, and they don't eat matzah before Pesach. All these different inyanim can use that as a lechem mishnah. So see there in the Piskei Tshuvos. Let's move on to Sif Tes and Yud regarding how do we fix or make something into Pas Yisrael. So everyone here saw the Rishonim. So let's just review the Gemara very quickly. The Gemara in Lamed Ches, Amud Beis, and Avodah Zarah says the name of Ravina, that if a guy lit an oven and the Yisrael put the bread in it, or vice versa, that the Yisrael lit it and the Goy put it in, or the Goy did both and the Yisrael just played with the coals, so that increases the heat, so the bread is going to be mutter. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says when it comes, this is what the Gemara says when it comes to bread. And I just wanted to do this quickly. I'm going to summarize. If you look carefully through Sif Tes and Yud, carefully, you'll find there are 7 heterim when it comes to making something into Pas Yisrael. Let's go through the 7 heterim very quickly just to clarify all the opinions. The Mechaber says that if a guy lit the oven and the Jew baked the bread in it, so that's fine. Then he says that if a Jew lit the oven and the guy baked the bread, so that's fine as well. 3 is if the guy lit the oven and started to bake the bread, but the Jew came and raised the flame. These are all straight from the Gemara. 1 through 3 are straight from the Gemara. Then the Mechaber says it's enough to put in a little bit of fuel to the oven to give a heker, that the pas nachri, that we don't normally eat pas nachri, and to show that usually this type of bread is asr. We'll get back to the heker later on. So that is 4, meaning you do a little bit in order to get a heker. Then the Rama says that blowing on the fire is sufficient as well. That's the 5th thing. And the Gra in Sifkat Miotes quotes the Gemara in Bava Kama that we know that when it comes to even damaging something, if you blow on something and it causes damage, that's considered enough of a maisa. So therefore over here as well, when it comes to the making something to pass Yisrael, so that is the 5th shita, that blowing on the fire would be sufficient as well. The sixth is what the Mechaber writes in Sif Yud, that if a guy baked three times in the oven, and the first two times the Jew added the fire, and the third time is just the residual heat of the Jew heating up the oven, so that would be sufficient as well, to use the residual heat of the Jew heating up the oven. And the seventh hetzer, when it comes to Pas Yisrael, is that even if a Jew lit the fire for one day, according to the Ramah, and you have that residual heat, so that would be sufficient as well to turn something into Pas Yisrael. Yeah. So the Aruch HaShulchan says in Sif Chav Zayin that the leniencies of the Ramah are not lichatchila, and they're only bidyavid. And lichatchila, you can only rely on lighting the oven, raising the flame, or placing the bread into the oven. This is how the Aruch HaShulchan says. Yeah.
And
then
the Shulchan Aruch also, that with the two, like when you said he placed it twice.
Yeah.
The Shulchan Aruch also is bidyavid.
So he owned the Aruch HaShulchan. Im Shachach. Yeah, so true. That would also be the Yaved. The Steich Emet says you can only rely on these things for a katan. That's even more machmer, but even for only for a katan. I don't know who bakes bread only for children nowadays, so that wouldn't really apply. Yeah.
Is that just the Ramah or the Shulchan?
What? The Steich Emet seems the Ramah, the Hatanim of the Ramah. Okay, let's proceed. We need to discuss first timers. Okay? Can you have in the restaurant that the Jew will set a timer and this will be sufficient? Meaning you walk in day one, he puts on a timer, in the mornings the oven will cut on, and then the afternoon will cut off, and then that'll be like that for La'olam Vad, that a timer will be sufficient to set in motion. So there are three shitos. How is that possible? It's either yes or no. So we'll see there's a third shita as well. So the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Dalet 7 Chaf Ches says that a timer is sufficient. And he says that usually when it comes to mitzvos, we require koach ha'adam, and you need to, you know, do it with your own maisa regarding that whole shtekel Torah, right? We know when it comes to Tzil Sedayim, and when it comes to Ritzicha, and when it comes to Shabbos, you need to have koach ha'adam, all these different things. But in this case, we don't need koach ha'adam when it comes to baking bread. What do we need? A heker. You need a heker. And therefore, the timer will be sufficient, he says, to create this heker to show that it's Pas Yisrael. And this is the sheet as well as the Evan. Yeah.
So the Yisrael has to set the timer?
He has to set the timer. But once he set the timer, he's good forever. Okay? This is the sheet of the Evan Yisrael and Chelek Tess, Rav Yisrael, Yisrael Fisher, and other poskim as well. However, Rav Moshe is quoted in the Rishume Aaron from Aaron Felder, in the Chelek Aleph Yerodeah, here in Simon Kufyud Gimel, that a timer doesn't work because there's no maisa. There needs to be an action. And Rav Yashiv in the Shvus Yitzchak, which is a pretty reliable sefer that quotes Rav Yashiv, in Chelek Vav, on page Ayin Beis, explains beautifully. He says that the heker is not sufficient. Your first needs to be a maisa. First you need to do an action, and then there's a heker. It's not sufficient that, you know, you can't just put, according to this, you just put up a sign in front of the oven that says, Jewish bread, and that will be fine. Or say, we don't eat not Jewish bread, and that will be fine. No, there needs to be a maisa going into it. And the timer, there's no maisa, it's the machine doing it. And therefore, there needs to be a maisa first, and then the maisa creates the heker, says Rav Yashiv, and therefore it is not sufficient. And the Shevin HaKasin, Chelek Dalid, and Rav Falk, in the Kovei Tza'am HaTorah, and Rav Rubin from Har Nof as well, and the Chalkas Binyanimin, and Rabbi Heinemann from the Star K, all say that the timer is no good, and the timer issue is thrown out. I don't think that we generally rely on the timer when it comes to Pas Yisrael. The third sheet is from Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach writes in Shuvos Vanagos, in Chelek Gimel Reish Nun, that the timer only works for the first time. The first time you set the timer, that's fine, because the first time it clicks on is from your Maisa. But every subsequent time, it would not work. I don't know what that gets you. Might as well just turn on yourself. But he says the first time would be okay. Then there would be Yichus to your Maisa on the first issue. Okay, next. The next issue that's raised by the Kashrus organizations is an invention that was created by the OU that you could dial a number, and the phone would turn on the oven wherever the bakery would be. This is a system that was set up by the OU. You dial a number, it calls the oven, and the oven turns on. And so essentially a Jew would be turning on the oven by phoning in. So Rav Yashiv is quoted again in the Shvus Yitzchak that's saying that this is sufficient, and it's being done with a Maisa. the phone is considered enough of a maisa to turn on the oven, and that would be sufficient as well. This is certainly the opinion of the OU, because this is what the OU does. However, Rabbi Heinemann disagrees. Rabbi Heinemann in the Star K, I'll quote from you from his writings. He says, if the action that is done by the Yehudi causes an indirect lighting of the oven, that action would not qualify for Bishul Yisrael. Hence, dialing a number that in turn trips a switch, that in turn lights an oven, would be considered a grumma, an indirect action that would not qualify for Bishul Yisrael. And therefore, the Star K does not rely on calling the oven from your phone. This is by pass. We'll have to discuss whether Bishul later on. But let's just assume by pass for right now. There's another issue by pilot lights as well, but let's wait till we get to Bishul. We'll discuss pilot lights over there as well. The last shita is that, again, is Rav Heinemann from the Star K regarding the glow plug or the light bulb. So he came up with a novel way. Again, I will quote from what he says. Would a light bulb or a glow plug that it was turned on by Yehudi and it was burning continuously qualify for Bishul Yisrael? The minimum halachic requirement for Bishul Yisrael is a shlachas kisem, literally throwing a small wood chip into the fire. Any minor action that contributes heat to the cooking would qualify for Bishul Yisrael. If the oven would be hot-wired, so that a bulb or a glow bar could be placed into the oven cavity, turned on by the Yehudi, and left on permanently, the additional heat given off by the light bulb or the glow plug, which is considered fire, would more than qualify for Hashlachas Kisem and would fulfill the requirements of Bishul Yisrael. And this is what is done in Star K restaurants. They have, if they want to, they have this light bulb that's installed that's very hot, or they have this glow plug that's very hot, and that is considered the residual heat. That's considered adding a little, the Jew adding to the fire through that plug. The OU and Rav Yashav reject this approach. So the argument is as follows. The first argument given is that Hashlachas Kisem only works for each individual baking. Each time and you're throwing a new thing. But if I just put the glow plug in, so then it's just the same baking from the first time. What's interesting that in something like a timer? The first time you put it in, that was the first maisa. But every single time that you want a new baking, you need a new throwing in of the piece of wood.
But we said that's a big bidyevet
to rely on using the residual heat. The other thing Rav Schechter explains is as follows. So Rav Schechter says that even if one, let's say you say for argument that one heker is a sufficient, that I put on the glow plug 5 years ago and it's carrying through, let's say that's just sufficient for the sake of the argument. But even if you say one heker can be used, there's a difference between stoking a fire with wood and putting on this light bulb. When the twig is thrown in to the fire, so it adds more fuel to the existing fire, right? Even if it is only 10 seconds more of burning time, when I throw in the twig to the fire, it adds something that is concrete that I can measure within the fire burning. And that creates a maisa and a heker that's sufficient. But if you have a light bulb in a gas oven, so it doesn't add more heat. The gas oven is set at 500 degrees. If I have a light bulb that, let's say, even gets to 200 degrees, it's not going to make it any hotter in the oven. The hottest that the oven is going to get is 500 degrees. It's already set at much higher than the plug. So the plug is not changing anything. It's not adding more fuel. It's not changing any way that the oven's going to act. The oven in a gas oven has already reached a limit of the top heat of 500 degrees. Putting in the glow plug is not going to make it 501 or 502, and it's also not going to make it last, even if I turn off the oven, it's not going to make it stay hotter for 5 minutes or 2 minutes. It's only affecting, it has a limit to it. It's not any hotter than the oven itself. It's not adding any more fuel to the fire, literally. Yeah.
Would it get to 500 faster or no?
No. It would, why would it get to 500 faster? It would still, it still needs to, even getting to the cooking temperature, we saw the Ran already said, and the Ramban already said that the initial, it's not enough just to get there. It needs to affect the cooking process itself. It needs to already be there. So since the glow plug is not adding any fuel to the fire, therefore the glow plug is would not be sufficient. And certainly, Reb Yashiv says that you simply cannot, Jew cannot turn on a fire on one day of the year and have the fire leave the oven on for the whole year. That's also not sufficient as well. It's not a hecker. You need to have, every single time there's a new baking, a new hecker being added to the fire. Okay.